as you rise, and you know they're going with to every ball there.
Now, standing game, you might replace over this place.
Yeah, good day at the office there. You know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which we really, really needed it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again into the studios here in KCLR for Come On Kind. Hard to believe it, but yes, the National League is over. This is Season 6, Episode 12, and we're going to be delving back on what was a fantastic weekend of camogie in all of the divisions around, but I suppose the pinnacle of that would be the Division 1 final played yesterday in Croke Park. And Anya and myself will be getting into that a little bit later, and she joins me in studio. Hello.
How are we?
We're great. Yourself?
Oh, sure. Good, thank you. Good.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't we be with good lots of camogie to chat about and everything else? And we'll be delving into your predictions, what you got right, what you got wrong.
A lot.
Other teams that maybe after using that as motivation for themselves. But, you know, first off, though, I have a very special guest on the phone line. We've often chatted to him after matches on Scoreline on KCLR, but we haven't had him on the Come On Kind podcast. And what better way than to bring on the winning manager of a National League winning team, and that is Mr. Dennis Kelly, after Tipperary's victory yesterday. Dennis, how are you?
I'm great, Martin. Thanks very much. Yeah, sure. Look, we can't complain today anyway after getting over the job done yesterday and getting over the line.
Well, you certainly did get the job done, and maybe it was a little bit getting over the line and nervy moments near the end of it there, but it certainly, it doesn't matter. A point win is a win no matter what way you do it. And I spoke to you after the Kilkenny and Tip game in Nolan Park there a couple of weeks ago, and I said to you, you have to push on now and go and win it, especially after your fantastic performance that day. You did that, and that team showed great character yesterday.
Yeah, definitely showed great character, because it didn't look great there midway through the first half, and even into 20 minutes gone, I suppose, or close enough to it. It was 8-2, I think. You know, so we were just, it didn't look good. We were probably nervy. We didn't play as well as we had in previous games. And, you know, it was looking ominous enough, I suppose. But, you know, things came together for us then, and we got a good run into half time. And we brought it back to 8-7. And I think that was key for us, you know, in the first half, because, you know, if you give Galway too much of a lead, it's very hard to claw them back. And, you know, so we got back well enough at half time. I'd say Galway were probably disappointed going in only one up after dominating us in the first half.
To be fair, though, in the first half, I mean, while you did have a bad start, we'll say, for the first 15 minutes, and I don't know, maybe you put it down to a lack of a big day final or that for a lot of these girls. Okay, they were in the All-Ireland semi-final there last year and that, but it's completely different. You did have a goal chance down on the Davin end as well that may have went in. Brilliant save by the Galway goalkeeper. But going in, you're dead right, a point behind, certainly gave you the momentum going into the second half. But can you put your finger on the poor start?
No, hard to put a finger on it. It's about definitely nerves, I suppose, played a part. You know, we haven't won a final. It's 20 years since Tipperary have won a final. So again, it's, you know, to win these finals, you have to really show up on the day. And maybe, you know, just the nerves maybe had got to some of the players. But, you know, once we got our foothold in the game, then they seemed to evaporate, and we kind of got going and got playing our system again. And, you know, then we got the big score for us was Karen Kendi's goal in the second half, and that really, you know, drove us on. But like Galway are a gritty team. They came back at us, and, you know, before the free goal right at the end, it could have been a replay.
In fairness to yourselves and your backs, though, you kind of got together and got to grips with Galway's game plan, because while Ailish O'Reilly and the McGrath sisters were causing a small little bit of problem in the 15 to 20 minutes in that first half, your backs then got on top and dominated, and you turned over some amount of possession, especially in the latter half of that first half and definitely in the second half. Like, where was the difference there? Did they just feel to themselves that we can do this, or did you make any small little tweaks in the back line?
Yeah, well, I suppose after 20 minutes we introduced two substitutes in the back line, so it was probably a bold enough move. But we had decided we were going to go for it, and you know, again, it was probably easier that we were bringing on experienced players like Julianne Burke and Clodagh Quirk. So you know, some of the girls just hadn't their best days, but that happens in games, so they'll bounce back again. But the girls that came in, you know, they just won a couple of early balls, and it seemed to you know, it seemed to give confidence to the rest of the team, and we drove on from there.
Well, I was sitting beside Marion Graham for the first half above in Croke Park on Sunday, and I didn't know who was more nervous, herself or the husband. But when things weren't going right, they were nearly getting deflated a bit. But I mean, Karen Kendi, what can we say about this player? She done it again, Kilkenny, in Nolan Park. She broke our hearts that day as well, and she done it on the biggest stage in Croke Park yesterday as well. I mean, that goal proved to be vital, and what an unbelievable goal it was.
Yeah. Look, Karen is a class act, and you know, even she carried a shoulder injury into yesterday's game. So there's probably still more to come from Karen. But she's a brilliant leader. She's our captain, and she doesn't say a whole lot, but when she does say something, people listen. And she probably does her talking with the hurling ball. And you know, she definitely did it yesterday, and it was great. I was delighted for her because you know she's around a while too, and suppose especially you know there's girls there like Mary Ryan too, just to mention her. She's there 20 years and she hasn't had a national title, so brilliant for her. But you know, as we were talking about Karen, she's a brilliant player, and you know, she's vital to our cause.
You preempted my next question there with Mary, because winning the title back 20 years ago and going all that barren spell and putting in that commitment and still putting in the hard graft, like, that takes commitment. So for Mary to get up on the steps of Croke Park again yesterday with the National League Cup, special moment for herself as well.
Huge, yeah, I know. And she got to, I suppose, the biggest cheer of the day from the girls when she lifted the trophy. And I was delighted to see her mum and dad there, and they were seriously delighted. And, they were hugging for about 5 minutes of there. But they've been at all her games and just, you know, talking to her. They have missed a game at the end of those 20 years. So, look, delighted for all them and, you know, TIP supporters as well. And, you know, we have an excellent county board there. And, you know, it's a bit of payback for them. And our sponsors, Alpha Drives, as well. So all those people, you know, you like to pay them back, and so the way we can pay them back is by winning.
Now, I know you, yeah, winning is always nice, but I know you, and while it's great to have a bit of silverware at the end of the year, this is the National League, but the one that Tipperary is alluding for at the end of the year is going to be the Championship. It certainly gives you momentum now going into the Munster Championship, because you won that competition last year. You're now, after winning the National League, back against that Munster Championship and going into this year's Championship now in the All-Ireland Series, Dennis, momentum is certainly with yourselves.
Yeah, there'll definitely be a pep in our step going into the Munster and All-Ireland Championship, but I suppose the one thing we have to do is keep our feet on the ground. We can't get carried away with this now. It is legal after all, and you know, after a few weeks, probably people will start to forget about the league. So again, we'll knuckle down now, and we'll put a few days off there. We'll knuckle down and start preparing again for the Munster Championship. We'll worry about that first, and then after that, then we'll get concentrated on the All Ireland Championship. But we'll take it in small steps, and I think it's important that we don't get too high or too low, I suppose, because there's going to be bumps along the road.
There certainly is. I suppose when we talked about the match after the last day in Nolan Park, we always said Kilkenny and Tipperary bring out a rivalry like no other in the country. It brings out the best in both teams, and that rivalry is going to be renewed again at the weekend when the two minor teams play one another in the All-Ireland semi-final. I think it's the first semi-final between the two teams in a good few many years. It's certainly going to be a humdinger of a battle. What do you make of your Tipperary team this year?
Yeah, I've seen them in a few games now, and I like the look of them there. They'd probably be disappointed the last couple of games haven't gone their way, and definitely it wasn't much about it, but they were playing yesterday down in Waterford as well, or over the weekend, and they were defeated. So they won't be happy with that, but I know John Ryan will probably try to rectify a few things, and no doubt they're definitely a really good minor team, and there's probably great prospects for the future on them. You know, with their there's a couple of players there definitely we'll be keeping our eye on, but at the same time, yourselves, you're never easily best, so it should provide for a great game there. You know, next weekend.
Talking about prospects as well, because I know you now a while, and you're a methodical man when it comes to planning and keeping an eye on certain things. The Championship, Munster Championship, is starting in a couple of weeks. The minor All-Ireland will be over in a couple of weeks. Has Dennis Kelly got his eye on any of the minor team ready that might make the step up to the senior this year for Championship?
Probably not, but like, you know, Sarah Corker and Cuevas Eglim are two that come to mind, and there's loads of others as well. Pam Quirk there in the back line, there's great players throughout, but I suppose it's a big step up at the same time, and you know, we're not looking at anyone in particular. Our junior management might coax one or two in if it's a runner, but you know, at the same time, it's a big step up. We see there with girls coming from last year's team, really, really good prospects, but it takes a while just to get your footing at senior level. So look, we'd probably be working with what we have for the minute, but again, some of them girls aren't far away from making the cut.
Well, we certainly look forward to a humdinger of a battle again at the weekend, and we'll delve into that game a little bit later on with Anya. Dennis, again, once, congratulations to yourself and to Tipperary. I know you've been always so generous to give us your time, whether we either meet at matches or even this evening, 24 hours after a National League title. And I know you have many commitments to do later on this evening, but I really appreciate you taking the time out, having a chat with us on Come On Kinds. And we wish yourself and Tipperary the best of luck in the championship as well.
Thanks very much, Gary. Thank you.
Lovely. That was Dennis Kelly there having a chat to us, the Tipperary manager. Nice guy, have to say, always very good with his time. And yeah, myself and Anya will be delving into that a small little bit later on. But overall, Anya, I mean, Division 1, Division 1B, Division 2A, Division 3A, Division 4, you name it, all the divisions in the place was going on. Lots of Leinster teams, which I had my eye on as well. But I mean, if you want a bumper weekend of camogie, the National League weekend is certainly that. And I mean, we got some excellent games over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, like, you're right, the pinnacle of that was the Galway and the Tipperary game. And I suppose when you look at it as a whole, it was truly a really, really good weekend for Camogie in general. And I think, I suppose, a tip coming out with the victory there yesterday, I think that was it in all. I think that was just a really good result for Camogie throughout the country as well. And I think it certainly will rattle the championship a bit. And I think this is going to really drive on momentum and confidence in the Tip camp.
Well, it certainly will. But talking about momentum and everything going for them, I mean, the minor championship is still being run at the minute as well, and there was lots of games to be played over the weekend. Kilkenny was indeed in action over the weekend playing Cork. It was the last round of the matches. It was round 5, and I am delighted to be joined on the phone line, hopefully, when I push this button once again, by David Marr, the Kilkenny minor manager. And I hope he is there. David, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here, Martin. Not too bad, thanks.
Good man yourself. Well, it was the last round of the group stages for the All-Ireland competition. You had to make the trip to Cork. I suppose for yourself, the good news nearly was that because of the amount of points that you had, you were guaranteed that semi-final spot. A 5-point defeat to Cork. We'll talk about that game first. How did you feel the match went for yourselves?
Yeah, like we were looking forward to heading down. And we're looking forward to the challenge, because obviously Cork had been unbeaten until yesterday. So we knew it would be a real test of our credentials, you know, playing this Cork team. Started very well. We got a goal and a point within the first 3 or 4 minutes. Neat Davis scored a brilliant goal in full forward. Cork had a bit of a wind in the first half, and they kind of got a bit of steam behind them. And they went in 4 points up at half time. And we weren't overly disappointed, because we hadn't hurled too well in the first half. But yeah, we kind of had the better of it, I felt, in the second half, and missed a couple of scoring opportunities. And in the end, as you said, we got bet by 5 points. But it was a good workout for us, like, and it was good preparation for the All-Ireland semi-final this weekend. But like that, sure, there's a lot to learn from it, and there's certainly things that we can improve on.
I suppose number one aim was to get to the All-Ireland semi-final. That was completed before the weekend, because I think for yourselves, the last thing that you want to be doing, a bit like Waterford and Galway, is waiting on a result of somebody else to know whether you're going to qualify for a semi-final or not. You had that done. So I suppose, to be fair, it was a free go at Cork over the weekend, knowing that you would have a big semi-final coming up as well. So that was able to, you know, to be able to give, I suppose, players a chance and to see Cork as well, because hopefully, you never know, you might be meeting them in an All-Ireland final in a couple of weeks.
That's it, yeah. Like, we'd only love to be there on Sunday week. And, you know, given the structure of the competition, as we said before, you know, we went down to Tip the first day and we were on the receiving end of a beating, and we went up to Antrim the following weekend and got back on track. And then we played Waterford in the third game, and that was kind of the real turning point, I felt, for us. We won a tight game there by 2 points in Dunmore. And I felt we've gotten better since that day. And obviously then the week before last, we bet Galway. So yeah, like you said, had we not got over the line against Galway 2 weeks ago, we'd have been heading down to Cork under a little bit of pressure, you know, and we had said that from the outset, that, you know, that's not a position you want to be in, going down to Cork away from home, looking, or, you know, under pressure to get a win. So thankfully we weren't in that position. Like, we went down for the win yesterday, absolutely, you know. But like that, like I've often said to you, Martin, we've a very good panel. We've trust in the whole panel of 30 players. So we were able to get a start into three or four girls there and just have an extra look at them, and utilise the full panel that we have, you know. And like, that's made our decisions that we have to make this week in preparation for the All-Ireland semi-final that bit more difficult, because we do have a very strong panel, so competition for places are very strong.
I suppose next year, and it's a good bit away at the minute, we can look ahead to managers and that being able to use 23-odd players with 8 subs being allowed to be used now even in the under-8 championship, which will make it an interesting competition next year. But I suppose when you look at it, Cork are out and ahead of everybody at the minute. I mean, Tipperary, ourselves, Waterford, Galway, there's not much between those four teams that's there at the minute. But I mean, Waterford beating Tipperary at the weekend and knocking Galway out, it's the first time Galway hasn't been in an All-Ireland semi-final in I don't know how long. But it also then set up the semi-final, and I was just talking to Dennis Kelly, the Tipperary senior hurling or Tipperary camogie manager there just before yourself, and he's looking forward to a great game. Tipperary and Kilkenny always bring out a classic. You're a Tipperary man yourself. Whenever Tipperary and Kilkenny play, whether it's under 14, 15, senior, hurling, camogie, you name it, it's always a great match, and it had to be the semi-final that we would be picking against. You looking forward to it?
Oh, can't wait, Martin. Yeah, and like, it was always going to be Tipperary, really. You know, we just knew we were going to end up meeting them. Like that, we've spoken before that we met them there 4 to 5 weeks ago, down in Tip, and we lost the game by 6 points. We learned a lot about ourselves that day. Tip performed well that day. We would be unhappy with a fair amount of elements of our play that day. So we've learned a lot from that match, and we've worked on a good number of things. Yeah, but the typical Kenny rivalry, sure, it's famous in GAA, you know, hurling and camogie. So there's going to be a bit of a bite to it, without a doubt. We can't wait as a management team, but more importantly, the players, they're absolutely mad for this. As soon as the final whistle yesterday went, I had a little chat about it, but, you know, the focus straight away turns this Sunday. You know, as camogie matches go now, this is going to be a fair match. There'll be nothing in it. There'll be a good bit of intensity to it. There'll be hopefully a good crowd at it. I suppose from the girls' side, I just hope that there's a good Kilkenny crowd at it, because I've often said to you, Martin, this group of girls there, we're working with them there since the middle or end of December. They're an exceptional group. You know, we had a hard task picking the panel at the start of the year, and we've a hard task picking 15 to start every weekend or every weekend we play. They've done everything that we've asked them all year, so the least they deserve now, if we can get a right good Kilkenny crowd, just to roar them on. Because there'll be very little in this game, and yeah, we're looking forward to it. We can't wait.
Well, let's be fair now. I mean, the match is not that far from a lot of Kilkenny people either. It's only up the road in Rathdowney, so all roads lead to there on Sunday at 2 o'clock. But I suppose the fact that you have now seen Tipperary twice, you played them in the challenge game, you played them in the league game, you obviously had somebody watching Tipperary at the weekend as well, like all other counties do, they're always watching one another. So I'm sure you have the game plan already in session. I'm not going to ask you what it is live on air, so don't worry, but yeah, it's certainly going to be, I think, an intriguing battle. And like you say, the Kilkenny girls and the Tipperary girls are going to be up for this, because a place in an All-Ireland final is up for grabs, and that's something to be grabbed with both hands.
It is, and it's a big opportunity, you know. And as you said, these opportunities are there to be taken. You know, like we've often said to the girls, like we've a good number of girls up to the age, you know, this is their last opportunity at minor level. So we'll go in with everything we have. The girls will give it absolutely everything. And yeah, I suppose given the structure of the competition, just with the six teams in the group, we all play each other, obviously. So everyone knows each other now fairly well at this stage. We've seen Tip play it a number of times. No doubt they've seen us play a number of times. As well as that, I suppose these girls play against each other in school. Some of them go to the same schools as each other. So they're, you know, we know Tip fairly well. They know us fairly well. So there's going to be no surprises there. I suppose I know some of the girls obviously being from Tip and working with them on the club scene as well, but at the end of the day it's going to be 15 girls and 15 girls. They'll go out over the 60 minutes, subs will come on. So yeah, no, it's going to be a brilliant game. It's going to be a brilliant game. There'll be no surprises from either side really, but yeah, it'll, as camogie matches go, it'll be a cracker.
It certainly will. We're all looking forward to it indeed, and hopefully having the first of the Kilkenny teams into the first All-Ireland final of the year as well, which will be great for everyone. David, thanks so much as always for having a chat to us here on Come On Kind on this Monday evening. As always, we really do appreciate it. Good luck to yourself and the rest of the team. We certainly will be following it all the way. We wish you the very best of luck, and hopefully next week we can be having a chat looking forward to an All-Ireland final.
That's it. No problem. Thanks, Martin.
Perfect. That was David Maher there, the Kilkenny minor manager, having a chat to us. And Ms. Evan Anya will be getting into those All-Ireland games very soon. But Anya, we're going to go back because obviously we heard from Dennis Kelly there a short time ago. Let's delve into the camogie matches at the weekend. I mean, unbelievable. The amount, and I watched a lot of them. I was in Croke Park yesterday. The skill, everything to go with it was unbelievable. And I mean, we had a lot of Leinster teams involved that I was obviously keeping an eye on as well. Minor matches all on at the weekend. But let's delve back into the Division League finals. Division 4, first of all. Unfortunately for poor Wicklow, it was a loss for them, going down to Tyrone on Saturday. Easy win for Tyrone in the end, but Wicklow put up a good, brave performance there. Now, to be fair to them, unfortunate in the end, but yeah, congratulations to Tyrone. They're getting promoted to Laois and Armagh. Oh, what a humdinger of a game. I mean, it was a humdinger between Carlow and Armagh last year. Carlow went on to win by a point. Armagh devastated. Role reversal this year. Armagh going along and winning by 1 point. Devastation for poor Laois. But as the fella says, those is sports. Those are the things that happen. And well done to Armagh. Our friend above in Armagh, we've interviewed her. Rosemary Hughes' daughter. Can somebody please tell me what the girl's name is?
You knocked the girl's name out of my head. By
okay, Lillian is going to tell me shortly. Can't think of what it is. I know her, ma'am. I met her at Congress over the week. Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. Well done there. We've had her on it before, but yeah, congrats to Armagh. They get promoted, I think, the third time lucky with that one, but disappointment for Laois, Anya.
Yeah, disappointment for Laois, I suppose. But you know what? I think coming into this game, it was always going to be a big task for Laois, but what a performance they put in there. And I suppose it certainly sounded like the makings of a real humdinger of a game. 2-7 to 14 points, just the point win there for Armagh. I think when you look at Armagh, they really have been knocking on the door the last couple of years. And you know, I suppose they've had to go through days of, you know, of such heartbreak and to finally get a win there. And I think, you know what, I think they will make a good addition when they move up next year as well. So yeah, overall a very good result for Armagh. I think Laois are going to learn an awful lot from this coming into the championship, and I think it's only going to propel them on. Like, I think playing in a final at this stage of the year, I think that's going to add a bit of confidence, and it's going to add a bit of momentum coming into the championship, and that's certainly what Laois need.
Well, it certainly was, but unfortunate there for Armagh. But like you said, 2-7 to 14 points. The Tyrone game was 3-6 to 10 points. But the Colossus, the Battle of Leinster, old rivals, Dublin and Wexford. I watched this one live and it had me at the edge of my seat, because Wexford, wholly dependent on Kieran O'Connor up front. Dublin got the goal. They left Wexford back into it again. There was then a period of play where anyone could have scored a goal. It was right up to the end. But after 41 years of a title residing in the capital of Dublin, the Division 1B is on its way back there after Dublin beat Wexford 2-10 to 2-8 on the final scoreline. It was a cracking game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, listen, when you look at Dublin, this one was always going to come down to right to the bitter end. I actually had Wexford fancied for this one myself. I think that's two defeats now in a Division 1B final for Wexford 2 years in a row. You know,
so Waterford and Wexford. Sure.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's obviously devastating for Wexford. But I think like they're just going to have to move on from this now and, you know, push themselves forward when it comes to championship. But, you know, this result for Dublin, I think that's really going to do them a lot of justice. I think, like all the teams, I suppose, when winning a league, it's a matter of building confidence and building momentum coming into championship. And, you know, listen, Dublin, it's very hard when you're relegated to bounce back and come straight back up the year after. And by God, have they done it in style there. And, you know, again, another cracker of a game, 2 points in it. And it's really good to see like these close games as well in the finals. You know, it's shown that there's so much skill and so much versatility when it comes to Camogie. So, yeah, another cracker of a game, and fully congratulations to Dublin. And I think they're certainly going to push on now for a Leinster campaign and for the All-Ireland as well.
Look, I suppose they're the team that has been pushing Kilkenny in the Leinster Championships for a number of years. There has been great battles in it. Offaly did do that to Kilkenny a couple of years ago when there was huge battles above in St. Brendan's Park there in Barr. You know, Kilkenny were lucky to come away with some of those victories that was in that. They went on to win the Leinster titles though. But from a Wexford point of view, you have to feel disappointment for them in one way, but also when you're wholly dependent on one person to get a score, as Kieran O'Connor did, 2-7 out of the 2-8. Like, you know, the goalkeeper was very unlucky for Wexford, went to clear a ball, batted down. Grace O'Brien from Dublin, who had an outstanding game, got player of the match as well. I mean, it just didn't go their way on the day.
Yeah, and I suppose, listen, at this level, you can't really be dependent on just one player, you know, I suppose when you're a senior inter-county team. But I think you have to look at the kind of the calibre of player that Kieran O'Connor is. She, you know, she has literally been the rock there for Wexford for many years. And we have to remember, like, she's only 24, 25 years of age. Like, she's still very young. She still has numerous years, you know, wearing the purple and gold jersey there for Wexford. And, you know, she's a credit to her club, St. Martin. She's a credit to Wexford. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that they do just depend on her just that bit much. But, you know, we've seen what Kieran O'Connor did in Nolan Park last year against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland stages as well. Like, and I suppose, listen, it's disappointing for Wexford. That's two defeats now, as we said earlier on, in a 1B league final. And, you know, it's probably going to be harder to get over this one, I think, than it was last year. I think they would have seriously fancied themselves in that too. But, you know, definitely at Division 1B, both the strongest teams at this division certainly came out of this group.
Well, Dublin now go to 2025 into Division 1A. We're going to be back. They're playing in the big leagues again after, you know, I suppose they relegated Waterford a couple of years ago, then they got relegated themselves. Now they're back up as well, so they'll certainly be looking to push on. Somebody that will be pushing on, though, in Division 1B now, Derry and Westmeath played the first of the games yesterday in Croke Park at 12:30. I really enjoyed this game. I was at the edge of my seat. Now, in fairness, as a Leinster man, I have to put my hand up and say that I was shouting for Westmeath and hoping that they were going to do it as Leinster chair. I mean, what a start. What an unbelievable start.
Three quick goals.
Yeah, 3-3 to 7 points. And to be fair, they could have gone in more ahead because they missed a couple of chances as well. But all the damage done in that first half.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I suppose when they say goals win matches, it certainly was the case in this game. Four goals, Megan Dowdle performing at her absolute best. Derry probably just, I suppose, taking the game, I suppose, like not getting into it really fast enough and allowing Westmeath to take those opportunities. And I suppose that's something that they'll have to look in it. I'll be honest with you, again, I was going for Derry in this one. I just thought that after winning the All-Ireland last year, that they'd really be pushing themselves on to try and test themselves to get up into 1A to be competing with the big guns up there. But listen, it's not to be for Derry, but like, you know, they're just going to have to refocus now and regroup and really kind of, you know, put in a lot of groundwork when it comes to competing in the senior championship this year. But Westmeath, what a victory. Westmeath are not afraid to go to Croke Park and win. It's like nearly second nature to them now at this stage. It's very rare a Westmeath team come out of Croke Park without a win, and you know they've certainly done an awful lot of work. I suppose when you're looking at it, we were looking at a Westmeath team only maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and then there was a lot of girls that retired, and you were kind of thinking, oh God, is this going to be not the downfall of Westmeath, but are they going to take a step back? Like, are they going to have to do a lot of regrouping? They certainly haven't. The girls that have come in over the last course of 2 or 3 years, they've been maintaining a steady consistency in Westmeath Camogie, and they're still like one of the teams that I personally don't like playing against.
No, I mean, we saw that the last day that we were both in Cusick Park and Mullingar, like when they played their senior team, they really put it into them. Yes, they did.
They're not afraid.
No. But I think for themselves, they put so much effort into certain periods of the game that they then do start to tire out a bit, because they did start to tire a bit yesterday as well. But again, the damage was done. Derry, I met PJ O'Malan in the lift actually coming down after, and you could see the disappointment in his face. I wouldn't say he knew that was in the lift with him, and you'd be nearly afraid to ask as well, because a defeat like that, and you could see him down on the sideline because it was so close to it. No matter what happened for them, like, it just did not work. The big players, you know, they were surrounded. Westmeath had their homework done. I think the match last week actually against Derry stood to Westmeath that they were able to get that victory against them going into the final. That gave them the momentum. But I mean, I have to single out a couple of players. One, Anya Barton for Derry, 10 points in total on the day. Unbelievable. There was a good few performers for Derry as well, like Dervil O'Kane was good as well, you know, but the backs hurled well. They were under pressure though for a lot of that game, because they moved Hannah Corr into the corner forward, and she was unbelievable. I mean, her pace, her pickups, her catching, her scoring. The only problem I had with Hannah Corr, she didn't score enough yesterday, because the amount of possession she got, she should have had a lot more scores. But I mean, what can you say about Megan Dowdall?
Yeah, she's just a class act, but she's always been one of those players for Westmeath where she performs all the time. Like, she's a player that you really have to have your eyes on at all times. She's well able to take on her player. She's got a blistering pace on her as well. Fantastic. Like, another stalwart for Westmeath Camogie. Like, you know, like, we look at the senior ranks and we're looking at the likes of the Kira O'Connors, the likes of the Karen Kennedys, you know, the Ailish O'Reillys, and then you look at Westmeath and, like, it is Megan Dowdall. Like, she does an amount of work. She's so pivotal to that attacking line there for Westmeath, and you know, 3 goals again, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, her third goal that she got, unbelievable amount of skill. I mean, I have to credit Niamh Gribben in the goal for Derry. It was a fantastic save, but like, there was just nobody around her. Megan just picked up the ball, like, and bang into the net.
Yeah.
Unreal. Westmeath had an awful lot of good players that was on the field. Mirren Scally played very, very well. Julie McLaughlin played extremely well. Megan's sister Holly was very good on the half forward line. Like, they interlinked with one another very, very well. One of the subs that came on, Maeve Scally, actually made a difference, especially when she was introduced. I have to say for Derry, and I hope that Lauren McKenna does make a speedy recovery. She went off with what looked like a knee injury yesterday, and to be fair, she was playing extremely well for Derry. And when she went off, they kind of lost a little bit of attacking momentum from the backs, which did hamper their chances. But they drove an awful lot of wides as well.
Yeah, and I think Derry will be very disappointed at that. Like, I think, do you know what? I think, I hate saying it, but I feel like Derry nearly had one foot on top of the Hogan stand and the other out on the field.
I don't know, had they though? Especially after Westmeath's victory last week. Like, yeah. I mean, I can't say whether Derry played the full team or not last week. So I'm only speculating, and I'm not going to say whether they did or not. But on the performance yesterday, we know that Derry can perform better
than
that.
There's so much. Like, I highly rate Derry Camogie. I think they're absolutely phenomenal. I think they're just, they're a team that are so tricky to deal with. They've got players all over the field. They've got constant runners. This is a group of players that have been together for so long. They know each other inside out and upside down. I think that's a really, really disappointing result. Listen, they know themselves that they're obviously going to be disappointed. They don't need us to be telling them. You know, they've probably got to, you know, tidy up a few things. I'm sure they're going to have an Ulster campaign to go ahead for. And then, listen, they're going to be looking to the big one again for the O'Duffy Cup too. And, you know, they can really make an impression at senior ranks this year.
But they haven't time to feel sorry for themselves.
No, they don't.
Because, I mean, you have the Ulster Championship and then you're starting into the All-Ireland series as well. And I mean, there are some big hitters in that mm-hmm. you're going to have to perform against. And that will tell, actually, you know, where Derry are as mm-hmm. a team and their progression from the last number of years. Yes, disappointment for the league. They'll regroup for next year and go again at it. But they would have liked momentum, especially going in as the newbies in the senior championship and that. So, championship will be starting on the 25th of May. So, the week after the Leinster finals. So, they're in our group as well. So, they will be playing Kilkenny. So, we look forward to that. But yeah, it was a great day overall. The first weekend that we had the male president and we had Brian Malloy on our podcast last week. He spoke very, very well. I have to say, the amount of people that actually spoke to us after that as well was brilliant. I watched the Sunday game last night.
Yeah.
delighted that there was actually a bit more coverage mm-hmm. for Camogie in it, that it just wasn't all crammed into a 10-minute slot.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with their score tissue though. Last night with Kay Kelly and with Miss Sheehan.
Aoife.
And I know it's Aoife. I take umbrage with Jackie Hurley. So I do. As a journalist and as a broadcaster, they should have done their homework. Because if they didn't know, and actually one of them that sat in that studio last night, their own county voted against the score because they had surveyed their members in the county and they decided they were going to keep the score. And I'm not going to say which county it was, by the way, but for them to get up and then say, well, you have to leave the players decide and we can't believe in this and it has to be done within a 3-year period. There's a process there. We went through this with Brian Malloy last week on the podcast. If people want to change it, you have to do it within your county first and then your clubs. And if the counties have surveyed around the clubs and the clubs have come back and said, well, we want to keep the score, well, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We had this debate as well. And I know you're still not happy that the score is there, that you're looking for the shorts to be brought in as well. But I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. The process went through the proper channels. Everything was done democratically. Everything was transparent. The vote was all done above board and it was public and everybody saw it. And actually, if the bloody media had to turn up on the day, they would have seen that it was a democratic process and who actually stood up and spoke on it with the counties that was there as well. So I don't get this crap that's going on all about online and the whole lot about it. But anyway, we're going to move on and we're going to... Do you want to say something?
No, I just...
Hang on one sec, go on.
I just wanted to say, just talking to some people during the week about it, they were of the opinion that the top table talked on the subject. The top table didn't talk on the subject at all. It was all of the counties involved and the county representatives involved spoke for and against it and spoke very well. But some of the players that I've been talking to, club players who didn't understand the intricacies of it, assumed if the choice rule had to pass that some of them could wear skirts and some of them could wear shorts.
Actually, do you mind me asking, did you watch the Sunday game last night?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. I watched that clip. I didn't.
Okay. Did you actually see the clip then with the hockey?
Yeah.
What did you make of it?
Fine.
I thought it was so stupid.
I thought it was fine.
I really did like to have them all in different.
I do agree
things
with the girls. And I do agree with the girls on this. I do think it is a comfort level. I was just reading some comments online earlier on, and one comment was basically, 20 odd years ago, they used to be wearing shorts under their skirts because they were the clots that you used to have the little buttons on them or whatever, and they obviously, weren't like the actual skirts.
I remember Penny Kavanagh having to go around when Michelle and them was playing under 14 with safety pins. And they'd have to click the safety pins in.
I don't know, I just think it's... We're kind of in a day and an age. We're in a day and age now, that we should be able to wear what we feel most comfortable in on the field. And this is just my personal opinion.
Okay, but on that.
Yeah.
and keep your personal opinion just for a second. No. I didn't mean that. What I mean is, take it later, right? But yeah. If the scores were more comfortable and the manufacturers got their finger out and actually made them in a way that they were comfortable for players to wear, would you then mind wearing them rather than the shorts?
I don't know. Like, I just don't like the underlying of the scarf. I just think like it literally comes right up your backside. Like you might as well be just wearing the knickers.
But is it that they're not long enough then on you? Because yeah, I was looking at one team now yesterday and it's something I'm after taking. And bear in mind that I'm on the shorts wagon quite a lot of years. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get it changed for 25 odd years.
Yeah.
But they've developed in the 25 years. But I was looking at some of the teams yesterday and I thought some of them were actually mind-bogglingly short.
Yeah.
Whereas there was one particular team and the short underneath it was a little bit longer. The skirt itself was a little bit longer over it, and I thought it looked really well and they looked comfortable playing in it.
Yeah, I think a lot of girls actually get, you know, the under...
Skins?
The skins.
Okay, so
and
for argument's sake...
wear them in under it because like the lining does rise up when you are running.
Okay, so if we take a pair of these shorts type things, and I can't use really name brands on this thing, skins, whatever we want to call them.
Jogging shorts.
Like base layers, thank you. So take the base layer that's down in it, whether they be a cycling short length or whatever, mm-hmm. and then put the skirt material around it. Would that make it then better for players to wear? Again, I can't answer the question because I don't wear one.
But why do we always have to be thrown into a skirt?
Well, that is the rule is there at the minute. Mm.
But like, why though?
Well, the hockey players are still using skirts.
Yeah, some of them are using shorts.
Yeah, but I thought that looked so stupid because you have one in a skirt, you have one in a pair of shorts, and there was something else that was there as well that, don't ask me what it looked like, and there was three different players in the team wearing three different outfits.
But and you see, you can't have that either. Like, it's either all or nothing.
But is it not more important for the player to be more comfortable in what they want to wear than what it looks like?
But again, and I will put the other argument to it, and I love debate, right? Once it's healthy... Mm-hmm. There's some of the people saying that the shorts are male orientated and that they're made for males and they don't actually fit properly as well. So if you have the waistbands on them, they're not comfortable. You're still trying to pull them. Mm-hmm. So do we need to go down the route then of designing something fit for females?
Yeah, like I don't see why. Like, you go into any of the sports shops, like you can get a male tracksuit pants or a female tracksuit pants. Like, I don't see why we can't make a female pair of shorts. Like, you know, I do to somewhat agree with what the girls are saying. I don't think there's any issue in the way it looks because I think that's kind of going back to the fashion side of things. Like, I think what's more important is for a player to be comfortable in what they're wearing when they're on the field. There's nothing worse than wearing something that you're not comfortable at and you're constantly picking it out of your backside or stretching it down your legs.
And yet all of the counties that voted against it had canvassed their players and all of their players wanted to continue wearing it.
And three of these counties are tier one counties.
And I totally respect that and I hear what you're saying on that. But I'd love to see that. I would love to see those reports. I would. I'm not saying they weren't done by any means at all, but I would love to see some sort of survey done. From even if we just take it from one scope at a time, let's just take it from the inter-county perspective at a time and then move into our clubs, see what the current players who are actually playing, what they feel more comfortable playing in. Now listen, 55% of them could say that they prefer wearing a skirt. Absolutely, go ahead and do that. But I do think like we should be gone the day where anybody, man, woman, child, should be entitled to wear what they're most comfortable in playing their sport.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but as I always say...
I know, the rules are the rules.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is.
And it was debated. Like, I sat in the room and it was my first Congress. I was kind of sceptical to say the lease going up because I didn't know what way the whole thing worked or what.
And you know what gets me though is that a lot of the online stuff is being made that it was mostly men that made
men
the decision.
Men that made the comment. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And as I said the last day, I'd say if there was 16 to 20 fellas in total in that room,
it was the size
of Congress. That was about all.
And to be fair, most of the people who spoke on the rule from for and against were all younger people. Like there weren't, there was a good percentage of young people spoke on it. And I mean,
well, there's two counties around us that spoke against it, and two of them would be very prominent counties as well. And as I said, one of them would have been on the television last night being represented. Yeah. So. You know, I don't know. It did. This has been, I mean, I'm after
this
being at several.
3 years' time, yeah. We're going to be still having this debate.
Oh, we're going to be still having it in 33
but
years'
but you know
time,
what it is? Like, I think, like, and I don't know if there's any scope for it or whatever the case may be. I think it would be an idea, like, when it comes to Congress, when it comes to, like, talking about, I suppose, the playing aspect of things and, like, you know, the uniform aspect of things, it would be an idea to maybe have, like, a player's representative table of, like, current players, not former players, current players.
Yeah, but are you talking about current club players or current intercounty players?
I think have a mix. Mm. Have a mix. Have a scope between the two. Like, it's not always all about the county. The clubs are the grassroots.
Well, to be fair,
and this is the issue as well. Sorry, Lid, but the issue here as well is that you take the younger players that 7 or 8 years of age right now, and they are going to be the future stars in the next 15, 16 years. Like, how do they feel about wearing the scarves? Because seemingly a lot of them, especially in one of the bigger counties around, even their development squads would actually rather wear the scarves than the shorts.
Now, like, listen, don't get me wrong, I totally get it. But, like, I often remember going to matches, like, and running out the door. Can't find me bleeding skirt. Sorry, excuse me. Can't find me skirt.
You can say bleeding.
Can't find my skirt because haven't had a match in about 6 weeks. God only knows where the skirt has gone. I remember going to a match one day, actually playing a challenge match against Freshford and having to ring Marie O'Connor, who was playing for Freshford, and I playing with Tullerone, going, hey, bring us up a spare skirt there, will you? Because I couldn't find mine. Because we literally only use it for games.
But the skirt, like, I'm involved 30 odd years. The skirt and the style of the skirt has changed.
Oh, it has
so
changed dramatically.
In 30 odd years.
It has.
Could you imagine you going out now in pinafores?
Would inch and a half hems on them.
Like, I'm just even thinking about those yokes that we used to wear all those years ago, and I remember the two buttons on them, and I could never close the buttons on them.
Buttons weren't too bad. Those runner things that you had to slip it
into. And then the one
into.
That had all the pleats in it.
Yeah. Oh, they were shocking.
Disaster.
This is
and
terrible.
The cardboard ones.
This is how bad things are at the minute. I'm actually hallucinating nearly the Cheesy Brennan.
Yes.
Is sitting there and Mary Fitzpatrick is sitting over there and the two of them is after putting on the skirt that the players actually wear at the minute to see what it's like and give me their opinion compared to what they were playing, with the pinafores. Like, that's how bad things are gone, like, with the skirt issue with people in it. But look, as we said, I just took umbrage to people that they didn't do their homework last night, that the process was there, the process was followed, and there is a way of doing
it. It's a bit scary that people.
I have an issue though as well with service, right? Because okay, they've done it for the integration process, and every single person with over 30,000 respondents came in. That was said at Congress, so I'm not giving away any confidential information or anything there either. But for a survey to go out to the players, you have to make sure that all the players are getting it and not supporters that decide, well, I don't like the look of it, and I'm going to vote no for it, which is an issue I'd have. So if you give even the club secretary a link for a survey to go out to the players, are the players then going to transfer it to somebody else for them to vote on it and send back in? Like, it can be abused that way as well.
Yeah. But
but there's several surveys after being done. What is amusing me about a lot of it is it's men commenting on it. Like, have they worn them recently is the question you'd have to ask.
Go on, Anya.
But I just do think, like, okay, if, you know, we're saying that, like, you know, X amount of counties have voted to keep the skirt and they're saying that they went back to, and again, I'm not saying they haven't gone back to anybody and done this. They're saying that they went back and they conducted surveys and they said that the majority wanted to keep the skirt. Why is there still such a major, it feels like there's more of a debate about it now than ever.
But it seems to be social media driven, because there was another poll put up last night while the Sunday game was going on, and that was got a resounding no as well.
Yeah.
But it didn't really. It came that 74% of that was to let the players decide.
Yeah.
But then if you were to go by the data that was given at Congress by the counties that stood up and said, we have surveyed our members, our players in the county, and a resounding success came back and said, we want to keep the Scart.
Mm. I just think then if that's the case, every county should have done a survey on their players. And not leave it to like two or three counties to have done it. I think every county should have taken the initiative to survey every single one of their players, county and club level.
Yeah.
I think you'd have got a broader scope. You'd have got an exact number of Camogie players within the county, within the country, and you'd be able to tally up all of that data and then get an exact figure, an exact number of who wants it, who doesn't want it.
And like we were shocked, some of the counties themselves were shocked by what they got back because they said it quite clearly and publicly. They were expecting the players to come back and say, yes, they wanted Scarts or they wanted charts.
Mm.
And they came back and said, no, they wanted to keep the Scarts.
Okay.
Well, it's something. Am I hearing things or is there mice going along here? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, it's my fingers.
Yeah, there is mice in the form of Anya's fingers.
Anyway.
We're not going to solve it anyway.
No.
And we'll be still having a conversation, as you said, in 3 years.
But I like debate. Debate is always good and healthy and it gives us all.
But there were some great rules brought in that are after kind of going under the radar because people.
Let's move it on to this weekend coming because we have minor All-Ireland semi-finals.
I haven't even spoke about Tip and Galway game.
Oh, didn't I? Sorry, didn't I? Oh, mother of God. I apologise. Right, let's get to the Division 1 game. Galway and Tipperary. Thank you for reminding me about that. What do you make of it?
Unbelievable. Probably one of the best Camogie games I've seen in a long time. I thought both teams gave a serious display. It was great to see it so nip and tuck right till the end. Even the last free that Galway got, you just did not know what was going to happen on it. You know, when you were kind of looking at it in the first half, I suppose you were kind of thinking, oh God, are Galway going to absolutely destroy Tip there? I think nerves was probably a lot got to do with Tip. Like Galway used to play in Croke Park. I know Tipperary had been there last year, but for a lot of these players, it might potentially have been their first time performing in Croke Park. But my God, Tip came out in the second half and they absolutely just blew Galway away. The substitutions that they made earlier on in the first half, Julianne Burke and Claude Quirk coming in, that really set a tone for Tipperary's intent.
Huge decision, and you heard Dennis talking as well because you heard the interview with him, but like for to make that decision early on in a league final.
Yeah, but like I think that just goes to show the drive and the ambition in Tipperary this year. Like they're ruthless and they need to, where if a decision needs to be made, there's none of this, oh, give her 5 more minutes, give her 10 more minutes, see after this ball. The decision is made there and then, and I think definitely putting the likes of Julianne Burke and Claude Quirk in there, what an abundance of experience there after pushing that, what the abundance of experience they put in there. Second half then came like Orla McGrath, Siobhan McGrath was completely nullified in that second half.
I have to say Ailish O'Reilly, Siobhan McGrath and Orla McGrath.
Yeah.
Like the Tipperary backs, I mean, Marie Davison, Karen Blair going up and basically getting the winning score, you could say, from corner back.
She wasn't afraid to follow Orla McGrath around the place, like, at all. And she, like,
now, yes, you're dead right. Galway got a perfect start.
Yeah,
they were 8 points to 2 up after 16 minutes. Tipperary were not playing well at all. But those changes that they made was great.
They were
Tipperary
brilliant.
Tipperary came coming back into it and chipping away at it. A point down would have certainly been a bonus for Tipperary going in rather than 6 or 7 points down.
Yeah, absolutely. Like now, they worked. They kept working. They kept on digging away at that lead.
They
that
missed
Galway
the goal.
Got. Yeah, they did.
Like they should have had the goal.
They could have easily had a second goal as well. Karen Kendi got in the first attack, the first point that Tipperary scored. I actually thought Karen Kendi could have gone further. And it was, I suppose, it went to Hawkeye that point. But I think if she could, like, she's so physically strong that she literally just brushed off the Galway defence. But I think really, like, the making of that game in the second half was the positional change, pushing Karen Kendi in the full forward line and bringing out Eimear Loughnane. You know, I just think it was, like, Karen Kendi, like, you could see the space. The half hour line for Tip dropped out. They left Karen Kendi alone inside there on her own. She knew that she had the pace. She was going to beat that Tipperary defence or that Galway defence. The first ball she got, she took it, she buried it into the back of the net. Like, there's no question about it.
Yeah. Now, Galway did miss Roisin Black back there as well.
They
because
did when she
was
came
taken off.
Yeah, yeah.
Roisin Howard, though.
Yeah.
I mean, her work rate all day was phenomenal.
But her work rate for Tipperary the last two seasons has been unbelievable. She may not get on the scoreboard every time, but it's her work rate up and down the field. Not afraid to track, not afraid to hassle,
hooking, blocking,
and she's gutsy. She's not afraid to get stuck in there as well. I also thought, like, looking at the two benches as well, my God, the experience both of them have on the bench. You look at Tipperary, right? You're able to bring in obviously Julianne Burke and Claude Quirk. Mary Ryan comes off the bench there to play the last, see it out for the last 7-8 minutes. Aoife McGrath, another stalwart, has been for Tipperary for years. She was able to come back. She was able to come in, steady up the ship there as well. Then you look at the Galway side. Niamh Kilkenny, Niamh Hanafy, Niamh Mallon. Niamh Mallon chipping in at 3 points.
We nearly had the Niamh show at one stage, like, because we had Niamh McPeak, we had Niamh Kilkenny, Niamh Hanafy, we had Niamh Noyland, Niamh Mallon.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one was missing was Niamh McInerney, like, to nearly make it the full house.
Yeah, but like, there was, like, Galway got a great score at one stage, and it starts off with from Niamh Hanafy to Niamh Kilkenny to Niamh Mallon. Like, Niamh Mallon is a serious addition to that Galway squad. And I think when it comes championship, those three girls, they're going to be starting on a Galway. They're going to be starting on a Galway team. I genuinely do think that. And I think likewise for Tipperary. I think come championship, the likes of Mary Ryan, Julianne Burke, Claude Quirk, Aoife McGrath, I think they're going to be making a huge impression and really pushing for a start on that. Like, I think the benches for both teams certainly steadied up the ships on both ends. But you know what? Karen Blair, as we said, coming up to clinch that victory. And then, I suppose, listen, Carrie Dolan, she had two opportunities there. You know, it could have gone
normally,
either way.
Normally yeah. very good with him. I mean,
exactly.
She had got some very good ones in the first half. Now, the only thing I would say in her defence is that wind was swirling around the place up there yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the tricolour, it was going one way. You look at the Cusick flag side on the sideline, they were going another way. When the line peoples was putting up their flags, they were going a different way altogether.
But I think I think when you looked at yesterday for the free takers, both Emer Lochnan, why do I keep on calling her Emer Lochnan? It is Emer Lochnan, isn't it? Emer McGrath. Oh my God, I apologise.
Emer McGrath.
Yeah, apologies.
Well, there is an Emer Lochman that plays cornerback with him as well.
Sorry, no, Emer McGrath. I think when you look at the free takers yesterday, Emer McGrath.
The one she got was
Carrie,
she about 85 metres out.
The free taking yesterday was exemplary. It just goes to show the importance of a free taker in Camogie nowadays.
Yeah, it's
vital. It's absolutely vital.
I have a lot of Galway friends. I was sitting beside a Tipperary woman. I said it's the only time you're going to find a Kilkenny man shouting for a Tipperary team ever.
Yeah.
I was trying to rise poor Marion as well, of course. Myself and Marion would know one another for years. But I think Tipperary needed this more. Camogie needed this more for Tipperary to be winning the likes of these games, to try and bring up the top teams. Like, because, I mean, okay, we're from Kilkenny. We have had huge success getting to All-Ireland finals. We're lucky to be in that position that we have done so. But, I mean, we need Waterfords. We need Offaly's. We need Tipperary's. We need Wexford's and Dublin's. To be getting back up. We need this to be a really competitive championship where you have 7-8 teams that's well able to compete for the O'Duffy Cup. We need this, and the sport needs it as well. And the other teams are starting to slowly creep up a bit, and Tipperary now seem to be the kids on the block.
Yeah, and I think, like I said it last week, I think if Tipperary can get a victory in this, I think it's really going to give a massive, massive boost to them going into the championship. I think Dennis Kelly and his team have done extremely well over the course of the last two seasons. Munster champions, like they've won silverware in both seasons. Munster champions last year. That's a very, very tough Munster campaign to come out of.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the Leinster campaign.
Talk of a ball in the All-Ireland semi-final, unlucky.
Very unlucky.
League.
They're getting better and better. And I think this league, I think this is going, I think when those girls go back in training, whenever they go back in training this week, there's going to be a serious raw and bite them,
because they're going to be all the
girls, yeah, all the girls on that bench are really going to be pushing now harder than ever to try and get a place on that starting team.
But you, I mean, I'm thinking of poor Mary Ryan, right? Mm. And you're going out every single year and you're bursting your backside and you're going training and you're slogging in muck and slopping, doing the running, doing the squats, doing the burpees, and getting absolutely nothing year after year and still coming back to do it.
I know, perseverance.
For somebody like her and all of the players that's on that, and they think to themselves, I don't want this to be 20 years before we win another title coming back to Tipperary.
Yeah.
There is going to be serious, serious, serious competition and serious bite in everything that Tipperary do from now on. And I think, and a lot of people have said it, that they could be the dark horses this year. They certainly could.
I think so. I really do. I think that they are going to be serious, serious contenders this year. For, I wouldn't like to be coming up against them in championship. I think they're going to go very, very strong in the championship this year.
Now, I'm going to put my Leinster hat on this time and I'm going to start giving out and going on a small little rant. We had Brian Molloy on with us last week. He said this is a historic event coming up at the weekend with two Camogie games on and a football game. Now, number one, I mean, Seth and Marion had a chat about this as well. I mean, the programme is a different issue, albeit it's a very nice programme and the whole lot in it. But there was a game yesterday. The whole of Croke Park were open.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd that came to watch both of those Camogie matches yesterday was appalling.
Amazing.
We have to start following our own teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is nothing. I mean, I don't know how many clubs is in Westmeath. I'm not having to go at Westmeath. I'm having to go at all of the four mm-hmm. participating. Well, I'm not in Galway because there was actually a couple of teams there from Galway that was roaring, shouting for them. Every single county that was there, Croke mm-hmm. Park is a great place to be for a Camogie match. They could have brought a busload of under-8s, they could have brought under-10s, they could have brought under-12s.
Yeah.
Make a day out of it, go up, support your county. If there was 10 teams brought 30 players, there's 300 supporters that's there for your county.
Yeah.
To go and do it. The football attendance was abysmal because that's the way the football championship in Leinster is gone, because Dublin, everybody sees they're going to get to the final. There's nobody going to come within an ass's roar of them and they are going to walk it. But I mean, the Camogie match between Derry and Westmeath was one of the best Camogie matches I've seen in a long time,
mm-hmm.
and the bloody supporters did not come out and support them. And I think that they can sit and complain all they want about prices or whatever, but if we don't start following our own players and giving them the respect and giving them a show of support and going out and showing that we actually do love the sport, we do care about them, we might as well be hitting our head off a brick wall. And Brian Molloy and all of the Camogie Association and everyone that's putting out a plea can just sit on a seat and say, "Ah, here lads, we're not going to bother anymore."
Yeah, like, it is disappointing. And I suppose when you're getting to league finals and you are being given an opportunity to play them in Croke Park, I think that's where we really should be utilising our fan base and trying to get as many players, many people as possible to go and to go and see the games. And especially, it's a huge opportunity for the clubs to get their younger players into Croke Park. Like, it's nicer for younger kids to see Croke Park when it's not at full capacity.
Yeah.
And it's a lot safer environment, I think, as well. Do you know,
you're
like,
not getting trampled on. No, there's not 82,000. Like, I have to compliment Dublin.
Yeah.
They brought 150 kids to Carlow mm-hmm. on Saturday down to the league final. 150 mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah, well, Dublin are always very good to support.
But every county needs to start doing that.
Dublin are always very, very good to
support. And I include Kilkenny with this as well, because we're not great when it comes out to getting a busload of players. And my own club is the very same, although we have started to go a little bit more to the quarterfinals and the semi-finals. But I mean, there's league games above in Nolan Park. We commented on it the mm-hmm. last day that the crowd was so poor, like, that it was abysmal.
Yeah.
We need to start supporting the people. We need to start supporting the girls. And my rant over, but I just thought of Brian. And I mean, it was historic because the Camogie was on show. It was the first time we ever had a male president was there. It was the football was actually nearly a curtain raiser mm-hmm. to two brilliant Camogie games. But anyway, it didn't happen. But we are putting out the plea now, and I will be doing this as well at the Leinster meeting. Counties need to start bucking up and supporting their counties as well, because, I mean, there's nothing as bad as a player putting in, and you know this as a player, mm-hmm. putting in so much effort, and you come along and you have the same family of 10 people or whatever that turns mm-hmm. up to a match. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, let's move on to the Minor Championship because I know time is running away on us as well. Minor A semi-finals sees Cork and Waterford and Kilkenny and Tipperary on the weekend. Cork and Waterford is on Saturday. No venue on that. Our good friend in Dublin, Gavin Dunnigan, is the man in the middle for this. There's no time because the default time is on it. But do you want to give an opinion on it? Who do you think is going to come out of this one?
Cork and Waterford?
Yeah.
I think, listen, when we were speaking to David there earlier on, I suppose you had to kind of look at it that Cork were probably the team that are high flying in the Minor Championship this year. Always have been, always one of the teams to beat there, even at under 16 level too. You would have to seriously look at Cork for this final, for this game here. I just think
it is a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final.
Yeah. I think Waterford have just slightly took a dip. I think beating Tipperary at the weekend, I think that'll give them a major confidence boost. But I think momentum is certainly with Cork, and I think they should be securely into an All-Ireland final.
Okay. Obviously, you probably think that Kilkenny is going to beat Tipperary at the weekend. That game is in Rathdowney on Sunday, by the way, the 21st. It has a 2 o'clock throw-in. And Carol Collins from Galway is the man in the middle on that one. Also on Sunday is the Minor A Shield semi-final. This is between Derry and Wexford. It's in Clane. Philip MacDonald from Cavan is the man in the middle on that one. Wexford could do with getting to an All-Ireland final. Haven't been in a minor final, I don't think, in a while now, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know when the last time actually Derry was in a minor final. The other Shield game is between Dublin and Limerick. Brian Kearney of Kildare is the man in the middle. That's on Saturday. No venue. The time is defaulted on
this. That's B, is it?
That's A Shield.
What's the Derry and Waterford?
Derry and Waterford. Derry and Wexford is the other Shield semi-final.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So they have Minor A and they have Minor A Shield because Limerick and Antrim played in the Shield final last year and Limerick won that.
Okay.
Didn't they? They did. They bet Antrim, sure. So the Minor B actually has Kerry and Kildare in Banagher on Saturday. And the other one sees our neighbours in Carlow facing Armagh, a repeat of the 3A league final last year. This has no venue on it yet. I would be assuming it's going to probably be in a Dublin venue or somewhere like that with Colin McAllister of Cork. Now, before we say anything about Carlow, Colin McAllister, I have to give him great praise in the way that he refereed the Westmeath and Derry match yesterday. I think he forgot to bring the whistle with him. He left it at home. He left them at it. Nobody gave a damn of what was going on because they really enjoyed it, and it was a hard hitting physical game of camogie, and he done a fantastic job on it. I thought personally he did anyway. But Carlow and Armagh, are Carlow women a chance of getting to an All-Ireland final?
Yeah, absolutely, why not? I think that they've been working really hard in their underage structure there the last couple of years, and I think it would be just rewards for them if they were to get over the line and get to a final, and what an occasion it would be for Carlow camogie.
Well, they certainly will. I mean, Kildare was in the Leinster final against Laois. So they could go a long way as well to winning the B All-Ireland. Wouldn't it be great to, sorry, Kerry and Armagh, but wouldn't it be great to see two Leinster teams in that final as well? And as sure as to God, I'd miss it because it's the same weekend as the under 16 Leinster finals are on. Everything comes up together. So that the Minor C Championship semi-finals, they have a referee down for both of them, but no team. So I don't actually know who's playing in the Minor C competition, but best of luck to everybody that's playing in a Minor All-Ireland semi-final at the weekend, because it's not an easy place to be. It's a horrible place to lose, but if you win it, the build-up to an All-Ireland final, getting to an All-Ireland final, is fantastic. So we wish everybody, and including Kilkenny and Carlow, the very best of luck, and hopefully we'll be talking about both of the teams in All-Ireland finals in a week or so coming up as well. But other than that, I suppose I want to give a shout out as well, because I know you're in the studio. We don't normally plug things, although we do to a certain degree, but you put up a fundraiser for your niece, young Katie, at the week end. Do you want to give us an update or anything on it?
We're absolutely blown away by the support that the lads are after receiving. It's absolutely crazy, the generosity that's out there, and just a huge thank you to everybody who's donated, little or large, whatever the case may be, every little helps. It's going to a really good cause. Katie is going to be receiving treatment in Germany, and this is what this is for, because we just, there's no option here in Ireland for her, and we have just, like, I mean, like, it's actually just crazy the amount of support that's after coming from it, and it's just unbelievable the kindness of everybody, and it's crazy. Like, we're actually speechless. Never in a million years did we ever think that this was going to happen. Like, it literally just, it just took off. And you know what, this little girl deserves it. If you've ever come across her, if you've ever been in her presence,
you only have, like, to look at her photograph.
Yeah, like, she's hilarious. She's the best little girl in the world. She doesn't complain. She doesn't do anything. Like, she's just great, and she deserves this. And you know what? I said a few weeks ago, we're going to keep fighting and going to keep doing everything we can. And we're going to make sure that Katie gets everything that she needs to get through this.
Well, just for anyone that may be listening in for the very first time, Katie is Anya's 4-year-old niece who a couple of months ago was diagnosed with...
5 weeks ago.
Is that all it is now?
Yeah, well, 5 weeks. Yeah.
We're nearly at a couple of months. Mm. So, unfortunately, you know, it's a brain tumour. It's not great where it's located on her as well. Obviously, this treatment is to try and help her out. I know you were looking into options in Australia. I don't think that was viable and worked out, but you did find something in Germany, which is the case it's going to be. So if anyone out there would like to donate, please go on to the Facebook page and look up the Come On Kind Facebook page on it. That's CamAncAINT. There is a link there to it, and you can donate. And as Anya's and everyone says, even if it's as much as 1 or 2 euro,
yep,
every single little bit helps, and it all goes to help that beautiful little 4-year-old. And I'm just saying, if you look at the photograph, you will fall in love with her straight away, even if you don't know her. She has a cheeky smile, a bit like her auntie. It's devious at times, I can tell you, but a brave and cute little girl she is. So, you know.
And just on that as well, sorry now, I am going to plug it because it is personal. Obviously, like, we do have the GoFundMe page set up, but, like, we will be holding local fundraisers, because I understand, like, there's a lot of people, like, I know that there's a lot of people that have come to us and said, like, oh, we just don't do online, and that's absolutely fine. Like, and what I've said to people is, listen, we're going to be holding local fundraisers over the course of the coming weeks or whatever the case may be. So, like, even if you want to buy a raffle ticket, then that's absolutely fine. So, like, don't be worried if you're not into donating online. We will be holding some fundraisers and local events soon enough, because this is obviously a costly measure for the family, a very young family. There's a 7.5-month-old baby at home as well. Both Katie's parents are out of work due to this, because she does need the full-time care. So thank you, and keep sharing the GoFundMe page. That's all we're asking. Just keep, if you can donate, absolutely brilliant, but if you can share, that's even better.
I might as well say it out front, because, I mean, healthcare expenses around the world does not come cheap, especially when it's not in available in Ireland. I mean, this treatment that she's going on at the minute is working out at over 7,000 a month, basically, give or take. More, which, I'm just giving a slight figure, like, but I mean, it's not cheap. So, as we always say, and I mean, Anya is our bestest friend here, and we'll plug it as well. So, Katie, you're definitely still in all our thoughts and prayers anyway. We'll keep the fight going, but if anyone can at all help out, I know Anya and the family and ourselves here on Come On Kind, because we always say, when something like this happens, the Gaelic family always comes together, support one another, and you can see that in everything that's done around the world. When something happens, the GAA, the Camogie, the LGFA, the Rounders, as we call it, the Gaelic family, pulls together and does everything in their best. Yeah. Best of luck to all the teams again at the weekend. We won't be out on any commentaries, unfortunately, this weekend. We're taking a break from all that. We're going to enjoy the matches instead for a while, but we will be back again next week, hopefully previewing an All-Ireland final. And wouldn't it be nice that the two neighbours of Kilkenny and Waterford might actually be in that, because it might be a local derby and it might be locally as well. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Until next week, from us all here in the KC Law Studios in Kilkenny, it's goodbye from us all.
Thank Bye. You.
She's riding it. She's taking it. Goal for Kilkenny. It's in the net.
two eyes, and you know they're going to every ball there.
Outstanding game, 2 points from Blaise Offa. Miss Pace,
a good day at the office there. You know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which we really, really needed.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.